हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सदि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 53. Summary of Adhikarana 7. Vishaya. What happened to our... The Adhikarana... Kind of... What do you call it? Summary?
The Sutra and the Sutra. I have kept it inside because you edited yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we're not going to do the next Adhikarana today. Okay. This is a very big one.
Okay. Vishaya. Having refuted the atheistic proponents, Nirishvara, not acknowledging the Lord, or Pradhan as the cause of everything, now the author refutes the concept of Seshvara, acknowledging the Lord but not completely, right? Because within these philosophies, you always have a few variations like that, because the thing is they can themselves can see the holes in their philosophy. Or someone brings it up and they don't have an answer, so then they come up with a new answer. So many times that changes the philosophy. So you may have a different school of that philosophy, or you just have a different angle of it. And for them, they don't really make the distinction, because if you're already wrong, then a little bit more wrong doesn't really matter. Right? So, yeah. Okay. By taking statements concerning the cause of the world and showing that they indicate the Supreme Brahman. Right, so they're taking these statements and saying they're Pradhan, because but we're going to show that it's the Supreme Brahman. So even if they bring it up that it's Brahman, it'll only be used as much as up to that point. But then they take it beyond that point, there's something else. Does that make sense? So let us say if one group is taking something up to one level, and someone else takes it up to a level past that, you can use that one past that to defeat the one that goes up to less for that argument. But for establishing the conclusion, you can't use what they're doing because it's not complete. Does that make sense? Because the point is it's correct. They just don't know how to complete the whole thing. So Siddhanta has to come from our line. But the tools of presentation of argument, that you can use whatever is given by these that are used by the acharyas to deal with these points of philosophy, even though they're coming from other schools. That doesn't matter. It's because they've thought about it a lot and they've come up with something nice, so it's used. It's not that, oh, it's from that school, we won't use it. No, it means if it's from that school and it's correct, we'll use it. If it's from that school and it's not correct, we won't use it. Is that...
Yeah? Maharaj, when you say acknowledging the Lord over your, Sheshwara, so partially, so does that mean that they consider the scriptures, they accept the scriptures partially, or the form of the Lord partially, or like what exactly is...
Do they accept the scripture or the form of the Lord partially? Means they're working on scriptures, but... They're looking for a specific outcome. So they only really focus on those verses that give that outcome. They don't focus on anything. So their philosophy isn't developed enough that they could deal with every verse of the Shastra. Right? So we see only in the Purva Mimamsa and Uttara Mimamsa that they'll deal with all aspects of philosophy. Right, but Purva will only deal with it in connection with karma, or the jnana aspect. Though they won't deal with it in connection with actually the Upanishadic conclusions of the Supreme Lord. Does that make sense? Yeah. So they'll only take that. So they acknowledge the Lord, but not completely, that they acknowledge He's there and He does a certain part, but not more than that. Just like, let's say, the aspect that the results of your activities are coming from the Lord. Right? So that's sanctioned by the Lord. That's a known point. Paramatma's there, you do an action, He sanctions whether you get the results or not according to how you think you're going to get based on your action and your previous actions, right? So that's correct, right? But the whole point, if that's all we accept of the Lord, then that's impartial. That's not complete. So then in Karma Mimamsa, they'll accept that the Lord, he gives the results. So yes, He's there, He gives the results. But they only see up to that point. So then they take it further. So He's only giving the results of your action. If we don't do action, He can't give results. So therefore, it's dependent upon our results. So we put ourselves in the position of controller, even though the Shastra says He's the controller. Because we're looking at it as karma. They don't see the... It means we have free will. They're not seeing the free will of the Lord and why He's created the material world in the first place. Is that, yes, this is just one aspect of karma when you're not being involved with the Lord. But the actual purpose of the material world is to remember the Lord. So, yes. Does that make sense? So that's what it means by not completely. It's just taking the aspect that fits their philosophy and everything else they leave.
But this is what is the case with other philosophies also.
That's all the six philosophies do that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They all do that. Yes.
Devotees, sometimes they fall in the same logic. They use, instead of traditional approach to bhakti, they use academic or corporate approach.
Yes.
Saying the Siddhanta, we don't change.
Right.
But how we follow the process, this is valid tool. So how can we...
It's a valid tool as long as you see it's only a tool. Otherwise, if you don't see it's a tool, then you become the tool. Right? You know, so you have to be very careful in here how the whole thing works. Is that it's about the Siddhanta and you're using what works. But one has to be very, very careful is that if a traditional method and understanding and practice would work, why would you use, you know, this academic or this corporate or this, you know, new agey or, how you say, what would be the term for this kind of liberal, kind of touchy-feely equality, equity, fraternity?
Kumbaya.
Kumbaya. Okay. At least they mentioned the Lord, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, okay. I guess we would have to say it's political. So you have this modern political, you know, approach. You have the new agey approach. You have the academic. You have the corporate. Funny enough, no one uses the administrative, other than bureaucracy. That part they catch from there. But notice, it's the Kshatriya aspect's not actually being used. Because it's probably one of the least understood, because anybody who does wouldn't be talking about it. They'd just be doing it. So if they're sitting talking about it, having seminars, talking about it for the last 20 years, they're not Kshatriyas. Like that. So, these aspects you can use in support of, but it's that we have our own points, and this may be something where we're seeing some aspect of the art or some breakdown of that. They've analyzed it, and so then they've seen some points, but unless it's seen in context of the scriptural direction, then the problem is it will change, because that's come up from the modes of nature. And if you don't see it in the context of you know, what we're given by the acharyas, then when the modes change, it's not good anymore. Like in the corporate world, if you use the word synergy, people cringe. But devotees still use it. It's a 20-year-old terminology. People are freaking out. You know what I'm saying? That, you know, that they won't use these things. It means people do use them, but they're considered archaic. You understand? So we're using because we think we're up to date, but we're not. Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty, is that the modes change and it's not actually up to date and it doesn't work. It's not topical, or it's not what do you call it? What's in time? You know, in the
contemporary,
but yeah,
latest.
Yeah, the latest. It's not. So then the point is it doesn't actually work, because if it did, why aren't they still using it? Right? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So they have to be very, very careful, is that they have to actually be able to show how it connects to the Siddhanta. You can't just say it connects. It actually has to. Does that make sense? Because that's what we were saying before, is that in understanding a word, the Abhida Shakti is the direct meaning of the word. And that's what actually gives the meaning of it. So that being applied, you know, what's the meaning of the word is Abhideya. So the application of the word is its connection with the Lord. So Abhideya means service that's connected to the Lord. And so then, if they're going to use a modern context, then the thing is that you have to be able to see how it is Abhideya. And if you can't see that, you can't say it's Siddhanta. You can't say that it's getting the result. Does that make sense? So if you don't know what you're doing, just because you're using some modern things, it doesn't matter. Some modern words, it doesn't actually get the result. Because if it was getting a result, why don't we have this really fabulous system? You know? You know what I'm saying? Why isn't there a system? Because it keeps changing. Like I said, 3 years ago, it was strategic planning. Last year at the ILS, they were talking systems. This last Kartik, when they had the GBC meeting, they were discussing Dibono, the six hats. So which is it? Because any of them can work if you know what you're doing, but since they're changing, means they don't know what they're doing because they don't know how to use them. So they're not working on the eternal principles of these and just using that in that context. That means there's not an understanding of what's going on. You know what I'm saying? So you can say, yes, we've kept the Siddhanta in place, but where is the attachment? In the modern or in the scripture? That's the point. So if it's in the modern, then it's a distraction. Yes, it can be used. And that's where someone will begin in devotional service. But you can't claim that this is advanced devotional service and that this is the most pleasing devotional service. Because even using the Vedic techniques, if you're attached to them, is still a distraction. You know what I'm saying? Just like people get into modern academics and get distracted from devotional service. So many devotees get involved in Sanskrit or, you know, astrology. Somehow or another, just those two. And then they get distracted. The point is that if you're using these arts and sciences and these other aspects, but not seeing its direct connection to Krishna, it's because you like it, and it because it connects to Krishna, then makes it good. You know, just like, let's say, a typical thing, the business person is going to do what he's going to do, right? Whatever it takes to make the business good. Now, if he comes across some quote from Shastra that shows that what he's doing is good, he'll really overemphasize, see, this is scriptural, this is Shastra. When if the scriptures didn't mention it, he'd do it anyway. So it has nothing to do with scriptures. He just wanted to prove that what he's doing is right. Not that what he's doing is in line with scripture. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of whether we're dealing with mixed devotional service that's progressive, or mixed devotional service that's not progressive. That's the point. And that's all on the consciousness. It's just, by the form you can't see, but by the mood, that's where you catch. So in other words, if I'm engaging this because this is my nature. Okay, I'm from a corporate background. I'm using the corporate elements of Krishna consciousness. You know, so what was working in the corporate world, I'm using that for Krishna because it's successful. Then that's fine. Because it's just a matter of this is what I can do, it's for Krishna. But to claim that because I'm using the corporate, I'm more advanced, or this is more advanced than all the Vedic stuff, because I don't understand it. Now that's non-devotional. That will be a distraction. Does that make sense? So you have to know that yes, you start from wherever you are. It doesn't matter where you are. Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes that point. It's not that no, you have to get to a certain point first and then you start. No, you start from wherever you are. You know, it's just like, let's say you're going down the road and you're too far to one side or the other. Do you then stop the car, back up to the point where you were on the road and then go forward? Or from that point where you're off the road, just turn back onto the road? You understand? So, yes, that's what you do. And it doesn't matter where it is, you start there. But you have to understand is you're starting there because of your conditioning. And conditioning is never technically glorious. Not for the soul. So then we're using that in Krishna's service, and by that it gets purified. That's the glory of it. It's because of the devotional service that it's glorious, not the corporate itself is glorious. Does that make sense? So that's what we have to be very careful of, is know what's the actual position, what's the actual proportion. As if we understand that, what's the purpose of it and all that, then it goes nicely. Is that okay? Yeah. So all these things are there. They're all tools to be used. But you have to actually know what you're doing with the tools, right? If you don't know how to use a knife and you're using a knife, things can go wrong, or a hammer, or a saw, or, you know. You say it's all for Krishna, great. But there's a difference in that you know how to use that, and you use it for Krishna, or that you don't know how to use it, and you take it up because you think that this is something superior. Right? One has to remember is these things come from the modes of passion and ignorance. Our background is passion and ignorance, so it appears that they make more sense. But you have to remember that they're coming from passion and ignorance. That's their background. Well, what comes from Scripture, that's goodness. And actually, its purpose is to please the Lord. So therefore, if it's understood that way, it's pure goodness. So one can never claim that the techniques of passion and ignorance are equal to or superior to those of the goodness. It's against the definition. Does that make sense? You know, that's like saying trinkets are equal to or better than actual jewelry. You know, it's like, you know, what circle does that work? You know, especially if we're talking success here. You know. So we have to be very, very careful is that, yes, we can use all these things because you're using it, you know how to use it. But if you're going to learn it, if you're going to spend 20 years learning a system, and then keep changing it. Why not just learn the Vedic? You could say, oh, that'll take too long. 20 years isn't a long time. You know? So we see all these great kings and personalities, they're very successful. So what were they using? They're using what the scripture gives.
Yeah. When we studied Jivadharma, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur used the same term, Seshvara, when he was dealing with the five levels, beginning from atheistic, immoral, up to pure devotee, the middle one. Seshwara. The person who follows they're a moralist.
Okay.
They put God into it.
Okay.
Theistic moralist. So as to better achieve sense gratification for themselves and everyone else.
Okay.
So he becomes.
But that was within Manamoy or Pranamoy? Because you do have them within Pranamoy.
Yeah.
But I would say is in any case they don't have a complete understanding.
No, he's just part of
because the karmis and jnanis don't have. Then for the person on the level of pranamoy, so he's below dharma, and they accept that people that if there's a concept of a supreme, even though it's not really important that there is one, just that somehow or another people like that, so they're more inclined to follow. You know, because if we say that, okay, there is, you know, some after death there is some kind of life, and that life will depend upon how well you acted in this life, then people will tend to act better. So whether there is a supreme or not, they really don't care. So they really don't have any proper understanding. But there are those then the theistic moralist. Because those are like they're pseudo-theistic moralists, you know, in that way. And the other ones, they accept the scriptures, they accept the definition of that the Lord is there, but then they have only partial understanding because that maybe he's only you know the best manifestation of goodness, or he's there, he's independent, he's transcendental, but they don't really care about that. They only care about the aspect of what he can do for us. Mm-hmm. So in other words, what it's about us, and then there's a connection to the Lord, it'll be weak if it's not about the Lord and our connection to him. Mm-hmm. You know, so yes. Yeah.
It appears to be that's the point about Seshwara.
Yes, yes, it's not complete.
With Ishwara, he's just part of the system.
Yes.
He's nothing to do with being the center of it.
No, because when you get up to also Anandamaya, the lowest level of Anandamaya, then is where they're on the transcendental platform, but it's not about their relationship with the Supreme. Right? It's just about liberation. So they get situated in liberation, but the difficulty is because it's not a complete understanding of the Lord, then they will fall down from that. Because the point is if we're merged in Brahman, but who's the support for Brahman? Right? The person, Bhagavan. So if we don't understand the person, Bhagavan, we can't actually stay in the Brahman eternally. We can say, but you can say anything. You know, that's the fun part. Does that make sense? So, in other words, when it's about ourself, and then, you know, that connection to the Lord, that's where it's going to be weak. If it's about the Lord, and then how we can serve him, and I have a conditioned nature, okay, I'm from corporate background, or I'm from New Age background, or that, I can engage that in Krishna's service in as much as the scriptures mention its usefulness. Then it's there. So therefore, instead of picking and choosing from the Vedic and using the full of the corporate, I pick and choose from the corporate, which matches the Vedic. You understand the difference?
Yeah.
So if that's done, then it's fine. You're engaging your conditioned nature. So there's no problem at all. But when it's about our conditioned nature, and that's the important thing, we're just connecting to Krishna. It's a great starting point, but we have to understand that point will always be neophyte. Always. It's only when the Shastra is the main thing, and I have some knowledge and skills from the past, so I pick and choose from that what's useful, and then apply that as the Shastra says, then only you can get to the Madhyama platform. And then the fun part is then the neophyte platform will claim that it's the same, if not even better, because it's more accessible, more people can do, because volume is the real thing, right? Because Shudra is about volume, right? You have one king, he's controlling the whole country. Now, if the Shudras want to control the country, how many does it take? Right? The whole country. Right? And then they rise up and they cut off heads and this and that, and then they don't know what to do because then they start spending their time cutting off each other's head. And then while that's going on, then some little short guy comes along and takes over. They're always short. Yeah. You know. Yes.
Actually, we've heard some devotees openly admitted that it's a serious difficulty that Krishna is in the center. If we put masses in the center, it will be much, you know, much better spread out, and the whole thing will happen much better.
But how will it happen better? Because where is the example is happening better? Because it means as long as they're willing to accept that, you know, the U.S. of A. is the best, you know, social system in the world, and they're going to commit themselves to that 100%, then what's the meaning of them saying this? Because they're the only ones that truly believe in it. And that's, the masses believe in it. The guys on top know what's going on. But, you know what I'm saying? So, now, unless they're American, there's a good chance they're not going to agree with that premise. So then, where are they going to go with? You know, because England's actually socialist. You know, in other parts of Europe, they're not going to give the people that much power. You know what I'm saying? They consider, so they'll work more oligarchically, you know, like that. And, you know, and Russians don't bother with the rest of the group. You know what I'm saying? So this whole, it's to put the people in the center, but what are the people? What do the people require? And are all the people the same? So if you try to deal with all the people the same, is that going to work? Then if they're going to do that, then, you know, then they should just, you know, take the San Franciscan, concept of architecture and just build tiki-taki. You know tiki-taki? No one knows tiki-taki. You ever seen pictures of San Francisco?
Yeah.
Yeah. Means you have these houses, row houses, and they look exactly the same. And they just go on and on and on. Because it's all hilly and you just see all these. So everybody gets the same apartment, same house, same everything. And then they also have to have the same amount of kids, because if you have more, then that's, you know, you're taking more advantage of the system, and people have less, they're not getting the full experience. You know? And then there should be the same clothes, everyone wears the same size, everyone eats the same food, the same amount. Now we're talking equality. But do they want to take it to that? Then they're not talking equality. So then what are they talking? Then it's equal opportunity. But what does equal opportunity mean? Because then again, you'd have to say anybody can do this. You know? What about the guy, he's a quadriplegic, but he wants to be a chauffeur. You know? That he wants. You going to let him drive your car? No. So the whole point is that if you look, this philosophy falls apart at every point. Because it's not about the people. It's about that all the people are willing to function together so that I can get the benefits. So the real point being made in that presentation is that I should be the center. But that sounds bad, so I say everybody's the center. But that means nobody's the center. And so the only ones that I care about are the ones that support what I think. Because otherwise, if it is all about the people and all that, then it's about the people. And the people voted for Trump, so everybody would be behind that, because that's what the people wanted. But the people that say it's all about the people are the ones militating against that. So what does that mean? It's not about the people. It's about them and the people that they like. So in other words, their community. You know what I'm saying? So it's the liberal community centric. It's not the people centric. Yes?
So if Krishna is the center, this knowledge that Prabhupada's given us is so rarefied, so to speak, that the general mass of the population is not interested.
But you have to make them interested. It's just like, does the general mass of people know that Rexona deodorant exists and how important it is, and how if you're attacked by some gang and all that, because the Rexona is there that you can keep your cool and you won't sweat, and so they'll think you're dead when you're playing dead. But the other person who's not using Rexona, they're playing dead, but they can see they're sweating, so they know that, so they drag them off. You know, and if you survive that, then when you get up and walk out and go down the street, then if it's a guy, then at least 25 or 26 girls will follow him. And they'll all be like professional, you know, well-dressed, you know, A-class models, right? So will the common person know all that without advertising?
No.
So that's the whole point, is that that's what the whole point of the preaching and all that is. People don't know. That's why they're, you know, amongst those who take the liberal stand or this modern stand, they're called the ignorant masses. Because they don't know, so then they have to be trained.
Then the key is, how do we market Krishna consciousness currently to everyone?
You have to find different ways for different people. Mm-hmm. See, that's the point that comes down, is when we say it's about the people and people-centric. But which aspect of the people? Because you have the intellectual aspect of the people, you have the administrative aspect of the people, you have the economic aspect of the people, and you have just the general mass of people.
So it becomes a one-on-one connection, really, in the end.
Yeah, like that. And then you have kind of different kind of groups, but the point is that since you're dealing with the soul, Krishna consciousness is the only thing where dealing with the philosophy of the soul is universal. Because when you're dealing with the conditioning, then you have to address these four groups. And so that's the whole difference, is the Veda addresses it, the modern doesn't. Though technically the modern does have it, but it's not very scientific. You can't not function that way. But one may say is that the modern's doing very well, but the point is it? And so, if it's not, but the Veda, those practitioners of the Veda, they've been following it for thousands of years, and it's still working quite well. And so we see is that when they stop using it, that's when things fall apart. So it's just a matter of, if there is some success in the modern thing, how can you judge? It's too short of a time. Yeah, you can't say it's
not systematic.
Yeah. Like, let's say we go back, I don't know how long you'd have to go back, but, you know, some decades. Then the saying wasn't, let's make America great again. It was, America's the best. Right?
Yeah.
But now they have to say, make America great again means it's not great again. So that means, even in 200 years, it's already gone down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so that's the whole point, is that it's not long, it's long enough to see those who know the symptoms, but it's not actually a very good system. So unless you use the Varnashram, how do you actually define what's good for the people?
And so the Vedic system would be going on for centuries, millennia.
Yes.
Very, very strongly and systematically.
Yes. So then it's a matter of educating like that. And where do you educate? You have to educate from the top. So unless the intellectuals understand it, then they, because they're the, how you say, you know, so many causes of global warming, they're the main cause. So if they're discussing about the Vedic, you know, version, then the administrators, who are the ones that get things done, and then the economic community that actually has the money to get it done, then those three are the smallest, you know, of the whole group. Then they're the ones that then give the direction and what is done, and then the general populace will follow. And by following, then they'll understand and learn.
Mm-hmm. But these days, with say government not really being taking guidance from any intellectuals, I can see you've got to have them all there, and the intellectuals informing, but at this point, you know, intellectuals are not informing.
But also at the same time, do they have something to inform with?
Nothing.
So that's the point, is that it's only worth following an intellectual if they have something worth saying. Because otherwise, if they're just adding to the global warming, then, you know, they'll have Al Gore after them, you know, so. That. Yeah. Okay. Huh? Okay. Okay. Back to... Yes. The following statements occur in the Shrutis. Tasmat va etasmat atmana akasha sambhutaha. From Atma, the sky was manifested. Taittiriya Upanishad 2.1.1. Sadeva somyedam agra asit ekam eva dvitiyam tad aikshata bahusham praja ye. Yeah.
Maharaj, oh, skipped one statement.
Oh, I did. Yato va imani bhutani jayante. From that, these creatures were born. Taittiriya Upanishad 2.1.1. O gentle one, in the beginning was the Supreme, who is one without a second. He thought, let me become many, let me produce progeny. Chandogya Upanishad 6.2.1. Sa aikshata lokan. Nu Sirija, he thought, now I shall create the worlds. Aitreya Upanishad 1.1.2. Samsaya. So now the doubt comes up. Do the statements indicate Brahman as the Nimitta, efficient cause, or as both the Nimitta and Upadana, material cause? Right, because it says here, from Atma the sky was manifested. Right, from that these creatures were born. Let me become many, let me produce progeny. And he thought, now I shall create the world. So then we can understand that he is the nimitta, or the efficient cause, because he's the one behind it. Now the question is he the, how you say, the material cause, the upadana. In other words, the ingredients and everything like that that is being done with. Just like the cook is the nimitta, or efficient cause. But then the pots and pans and vegetables and that, then that's the upadana, the material cause. That makes sense.
Maharaj, is the first couple of words referring to upadana, from the Atma such and such was manifest?
The point is it's both. So then the question is they're trying to establish which, like that. Because even if he's the nimitta, that's all right, but their focus is on what's getting the work done. You know, it's just like, you know, it's just like, let's say, someone who's not actually a good cook, they think that if they have a fabulous kitchen, that automatically makes them a good cook. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of thing. So, yeah. So, Purva Paksha. Now, this will be their arguments. Though the Upanishads say that the Supreme Brahman is the cause of the universe, with statements like Tasmat va etasmat atma akasha sambhutaha. Above Brahman?
Alone means the first, from that Atma sky was manifested. Taittiriya Upanishad 2.1 in the visual world.
But just put that. That's easier.
Okay,
this side. Yeah, just put the you know, with the TU 2.1.1, like that. It just makes it easier. Brahman should be considered to be the efficient cause. Only, since there are statements that the Lord glanced or thought, sa aikshata, tad aikshata, in order to cause creation. We see the creator, such as the potter, who is the efficient cause of pots. The material cause of the universe is prakriti only, for we see resemblance between the material cause, prakriti, and the effects, the effects, the world.
What?
Yes.
Can we say that this is the... how we call it? They try to deify God, because...
Yes, yes.
Why would they care?
Yeah, no, because the point is that either they're not worried about God because they're just worrying about the material cause, or if they see that if they're a little bit more studied, then they see that there is a cause behind that. So then they'll give that credit of the being the efficient cause, but that's where it ends, and then they'll come back to here. So this deification is a standard thing. So anything we see from the West... We have to remember, 11th canto is explaining that if you, that birth in India, that they're there, but if they're if they have enough piety to maintain human life, but not enough piety to maintain the Vedic culture, in other words, it's not about the Lord or the culture itself, then just these particular principles of their philosophy, then they tend to take birth outside the Vedic culture. And so then they'll be professing the same philosophy, just they won't have the Vedic background. So those who profess this deism, then is there. So they have faith in God, and as far as your non-Vedic cultural element goes, then that's considered just that you acknowledge that he's there. Then that's good enough. And so then they'll be considered quite religious people. You know. So then it becomes, it's seen as a very pious position, that you're accepting the Lord and this and that. But the real point is we have to make it work. We're going to make the material world nice and wonderful. God made the thing, and then we have to do something with it. Right? You know. So it just puts us as the controller and enjoyer. You know. And it is impossible to say that the efficient cause is itself the material cause, since we see difference between the material cause, clay, and its efficient cause, the potter, who is conscious. Right? So they're making the point that the potter is making the pots. And so the potter is the efficient cause. He's the one that's the cause of pots being made. But we see that the pot has the nature of the clay, not of the potter. That's the argument here. But what the point is that how did the clay transform? Right? That's the potter. Right? But they're putting too much emphasis on the clay itself and giving the credit to that. So, you know, does that make sense? It is seen that there are many causes which combine to produce one effect. Ignoring the ordinary experience, one cannot say that one object is both the efficient and material cause. Prakriti, transformed by its controller, unchanging Brahman, is the material cause of the universe, which is the transformed product. Brahman is only the efficient cause. This is not only a logical conclusion, right? So they're trying to say is that material energy transforms, and it's material energy, it's Pradhan, it transforms, it's still material energy. And so therefore, it's not the Lord. The Lord is separate. And so, on that point, yes, we'll agree. But then they're saying there is no connection of the Lord with that. It's not his desire. Because the point is even if you want to take that aspect, but why is it like that? Why did it transform? You know? Why did the potatoes transform into a sabji? There's a reason. There's a purpose. But now just saying that the whole reason is because of the potatoes. The potatoes wanted to become cooked. You know, that's like, how you say? That's like selling, you know, Colonel Sanders chicken nuggets by a very happy chicken. You know, how does this work? You know, the potatoes wanted to become, you know, mashed potatoes. You know, they just, that was their destiny. Well, as soon as they were a wee potato, then they were thinking, yes, I want to be mashed potatoes. You know? Yeah. So that's not the, so that's being missed out is why is the nimitta, why is the efficient cause doing this? Right? So that's the one. The other thing is the energy and the energetic are non-different, but they're different. So you can see the difference, but at the same time as you see the qualities of the efficient cause in the effect. So in other words, you can see the cause in the effect. Otherwise, that's how you tell what things come from. Right? If that wasn't true, then Sherlock Holmes would be out of a job. Right? Because that's all he does is he sees the cause in the effect. He studies the cause and works it back to the effect. So if it wasn't there, then why is that? So then they're saying that there's no connection. Right? But let us say you're in the pottery field. Right? You're a pot, you know, how you say? You know, a knower of pots. So, and you work in the field, and there's X amount of potters, right? And so you can tell which pots are made by which potter, because you can see the effect from the cause. You know, it's just like art. You know, this is, you know, what is it, Raphael, and this one is Picasso, and, you know, things like that. Because you can see the cause and the effect. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. They're leaving this out altogether, simply saying conscious, unconscious, two separate things. So therefore we leave that and we'll just focus on this. So in other words, they're just conveniently using the logic. They're saying this is not only a logical conclusion, right? They're saying you leave just the you know, common way of looking at it, the ordinary experience, but you look at it's logical. It's logical up to a point. We'll even say the same thing up to that point. But then they conclude it there, well, we'll say, no, this is incomplete. So they're accepting the Lord, but they're not accepting the complete form of the Lord, how he and his energy are non-different, and how it's by his will that it's happening. So,
and also that they speak of the ordinary experience, it means that apart from Shabda Praman, they also have faith in the Pratyaksha Praman.
Okay, means that the ordinary experience is pratyaksha. Okay, so they have faith. But they're, yeah. Okay, Shruti also supports this. Now they'll give their evidence. The Lord meditates on the mother of transformation, ignorance, having eight forms, unborn and permanent, being the objects of meditation. Inspired, she produces. Controlled by him, the mother, like a cow with no beginning or end, produces all beings, gives birth to the universe for the jiva. She is white, black, and red, right, because of three modes. Makes no distinction among them, and fulfills the desires of the Lord. Because for her, it's just whatever needs to get done. So it's not that one's better than the other, it's just whatever is used to get the work done. Right. And fulfills the desires of the Lord. One person, the Lord, however, drinks by his will, since she is under his control. By meditation and action, the powerful Lord strongly enjoys the cow who serves all beings, who is drunk by the sacrificers. The invisible becomes visible by 24 elements. Chulika Upanishad. More Upanishad. Like that. There's 10 that are main. Then there you could say is 108. Then are the next level, and I think there's maybe around 250 something that they know of. Like that. Some are very, very short. Like the is it the Kali Santarana? I think it's only like 5 verses, 6 verses. Like that, so you know they can be very, very short, but they're making a particular statement, Upanishadic statement. You know, so in here they're using this for themselves, but they're that seeing here's the Lord's will, how he's controlling everything, it's going by that. But what they're trying to make is that there's no connection there. It's just that Prakriti's one thing, there are another Prakriti's doing everything. Since Prakriti's doing, we'll focus on Prakriti. The Smriti also says, just as a fragrance by its mere proximity to mind produces mental agitation without directly contacting the mind, similarly the Lord also agitates Prakriti without contacting it. Just as space and time by their very presence are causes of a tree, though they themselves don't change, so the Lord by his very presence creates the universe without transforming himself. In the actions of creation, the Lord is the efficient cause of everything created. Pradhan is the material cause, endowed with powers for creation, Vishnu Purana. So, they're not seeing that he is all this because it's his energy. But you'll say the energy is doing the work, and so then in the theory of causation, then you'll see there's the Lord as the original cause. Then there'll be the formal cause will be his internal potency. The transformation of that internal potency then will be the external potency, which will be the material cause. right? And then the jivas get to take part along with it, you know, controlled by the modes, and think that they're doing things, so then they're the instrumental cause. Right? So they generally try to give a different name to themselves than instrumental. Right? Like that. Those texts which say that Brahman is a material cause should be explained in another way. So they're using these, and ones that do say that he's a material cause, they say they shouldn't be explained like that. They should be explained like this. You know, it's just like the Mayavadis. They will take the verses that talk about how the Lord is one, and then the Lords that say he's two, they'll say, well, they shouldn't be explained that way. They should be explained according to the one. But what they're missing is he's explained as one and as two. So that's the point, is that you have to take them all if you want to get the proper understanding. That's why we say that, what is it? Seshvara. Seshvara. Then means that they're only taking what they want. You know, like we said, you know, the kid. Mother gives instructions, they just take what they want. She says, okay, yes, you can play after you finished your cleaned up your room. So they'll only hear the I can play part, and the clean up the room they don't quite catch. You know, and after cleaning up the room, that definitely they didn't catch. You know, it's that I'll play now and I'll clean the room later. Maybe. Okay. So they're doing the same thing, is they just take it and try to put it into something else. Right? So yeah. You know, it's like it's not natural. Siddhanta, Srila Vyasadeva addresses these views in the following sutra. Sutra 1.4.23. Pakritischa pratigya drishtan tano tan nurodhat. Prakriti, material nature, cha, and, pratigya, the proposition to be proved, drishtanta, example, anoparodhat, because of not contradicting. Brahman is also the material, nature, prakriti, because this view is not contradicted by the statements and examples given in the scriptures. So those other ones don't contradict it, saying that he, in the form of prakriti, he's the one that's transforming. But it's still his energy. Because if he is everything, then that means that energy has to be part of him. Right? That's just how it works. Okay, Sutra Prakashika. Here the Sutrakar explains the correlation between efficient cause and material cause in context of Brahman. Ordinarily, only the efficient cause on its own is incapable for knowing the material cause, material effects. The material cause also must be known. But the proposition, Chandogya Upanishad 6.1.3, becomes possible if Brahman is also the material cause, because the Brahman as Prakriti is non-different from the effects, and it is as well the efficient cause. Sri Govindavasya, Siddhanta. Brahman is the material nature, Prakriti, the ingredient of the world. How is that? It is so. Quote, because this view is not contradicted by the statements and examples of the scripture. So it's quoting this, Vedanta Sutra 1.4.23.
This is current sutra.
Yes. I'm seeing. See here how the acharyas do it? That's what I'm saying, like that. An example may begin from the Chandogya Upanishad 6.1.3. Gentle Sweta Ketu, you are now very proud and arrogant, thinking yourself a great Vedic scholar. Did you ask for the teaching that makes the unheard heard? The unthinkable thinkable, and the unknown known. Since they didn't put anything behind it. You don't put something behind it?
It's broken.
It's broken. The one slab was there.
You put rocks. No, you just get some rocks.
Yes.
It's just anything to keep it, because otherwise then it does that. It just tips over.
That's a very nice verse. It's unheard, heard.
Yeah, yeah.
Intellectual poetry, we call it.
Yes, yes. Intellectual poetry. Yeah. Right, so always bringing out the same point is what's behind, right? Making the unthinkable thinkable, you know, like that. And what's behind, the husband of the husband, the self of the self. Right, so it's always bringing out the same point. That's the Upanishadic teaching. Right? Here the statement is the existence of a single teaching, right? The knowledge of which makes everything known. So that's the whole point, this one thing, you know that, you know all things. Because that's what actually makes everything work. So if you know that, you know all things. That means all those things that one can know, that they have a common point in the unknowable, right? And so if you know the unknowable, then you know all that is knowable. It's not a separate thing. So you may not know the technical mechanics of it or things like that, but you know why it works, how it works, what's the cause of it. That's more important. Mm-hmm. The mechanics of something works doesn't really matter. Like, it's like, does that make sense? What is its purpose? That's more important. You know, so like driving a car, you can know nothing about the mechanics of a car. You just have to know enough to drive the car. You know, you don't have to know how many pistons are there, how many camshafts, how many valves, you know, this and that. You don't have to know any of that. And you can drive the car. But you have to know what the car is for. Does that make sense? So in that way, you know a car. Someone that could complain, no, but you don't know the scientific this, that, or the car. But the point is you can drive it. That's the whole point of the car. Does that make sense? Like that, yeah. This teaching must be about the ingredient of the world, for only that knowledge would not contradict the description in this passage. That ingredient of the world is not different from the original creator of the world. They are one, unlike the pot and the potter, which are different from each other. Because your example is always going to have a weakness. That's the point, is that your analogies in that are simply there to give you an indication. Means I can only understand something that I have contact with. So you give an example based on something that you have contact with, you have experience of. That's how the mind will work, by association. Right? If I take something and I say this is good, so then if I show the example of something that's good in relationship to the thing that you say is good, then you'll say that the thing that is being given example of is also good. Does that make sense? So that's just how the mind works. We take everything and connect it. If we have no connection, it doesn't mean anything to us. But if we have connection, then it has this whole world going on behind it. Does that make sense? So that's the thing, is because we said before, is that a word is said, it gives us a particular understanding due to our previous experience, our samskaras. So that word, we use it in our way. So that's why it's important, you know, when we were discussing before about using these modern corporate and political positions in Krishna consciousness, that's all right. But do those positions invoke understanding of Krishna consciousness, or do they only invoke, experience and understandings within its own area? So if I talk corporate, does it just make me think corporate? Or when I talk in corporate, do I remember Krishna? Does that make sense? Because if it only reminds us of corporate, then how are we going to get out of that cycle? I mean, the Vedic has a system, it's called Vanaprastha. But I don't think modern corporate has that concept, because generally when you should be taking Vanaprastha is when you finally get successful. Right? All the things that you wanted as a teenager, now when you're 60, you have them. That doesn't quite work out exactly the same, but... Yes, you understand. So there's a problem there, is that you're using it as an example. So you can see. So you see it works very nicely when we're talking about the pots being made from the clay are non-different from the clay, or the gold ornaments made from the gold. They have the nature of gold. That part works very good. But then when you switch it over to who's the karmakar who's making these pots, right? You know, the, what do you call it? The, how you say, the Hogwarts part maker, you know, then that one, then it becomes very difficult, because then you're dealing with consciousness and non-consciousness. So one's not seeing the connection there. So they've chosen those ones. The other ones that show that it should be, how you say, that he is the also the material cause, they leave those because it doesn't make sense to them for their philosophy. Because their philosophy is, since it's this, then we'll focus on this. You know? You know, it's just like Krishna, you know, went to Dwarka to visit relatives. So therefore, my going to visit my relatives, even though they're karmis, and that and is devotional. And so then I just focus on that. You understand? I forgot Krishna in the whole thing. So one always has to be able to see the connection all the way through. Therefore, the, what do you call it? The herd of the unheard. Right? Does that make sense? These kind of things is that then you know what is beyond. Because if you know that, because Prabhupada was mentioning, what was that, in 10th? I can't remember, it was 9th or 10th. No, it was this year. No. He was saying about how, no, I think it was last year, 9th canto, how the devotee doesn't actually see the material world. They see everything, but they actually are seeing how the Lord is all what is seen. So their vision is they're seeing the unseen. That's their standard vision. So because of that, that's how they're able to see everything connection to Krishna, use everything connected to Krishna. Does that make sense? That's the whole point, is that they're able to do that, while others can't. Because they see only the effect. They can't see the cause. So in other words, if there's an effect by a cause, what's the reason for it? Right? So if you can't see that, then what's the point? Just like if you give a kid a pot, you have this clay pot, you give it to a little kid, what do they do with it? Right? Break it, stick their Lego blocks in it, you know, fill it up with water and pour it on the, you know, the living room rug. You know, all kinds of things that the pot is actually not meant for. You know? Does that make sense? It will go through the front window really well. You know? But that's not what it's meant for. So when you understand what's the whole concept of why there's a pot, then when you see a pot, you see it in its natural relation. So everything of the creation, when you see how it's coming from Krishna, you see it all in relationship to Krishna. So then there's no problem. You understand? So it's not that there's more knowledge there, that greater austerity, all these different things. That's not there. Those come automatically. That's why we're saying bhakti, all these good qualities are not a separate endeavor. If you see it in connection with Krishna, they come automatically. If it's for Krishna, I see something, I see some nice vegetables, and I think, oh, that's, you know, these have just come in season, we should cook these for Krishna. Did I have to cultivate renunciation there? No. Because I want to cook nice things for Krishna. Someone's a cook. They want to cook nice things for Krishna. So they see a new vegetable in the market. Then they think, okay, let's cook this for Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? So renunciation, they didn't have to separately endeavor. It comes automatically. Does that make sense? That's the whole point. It comes automatically. It's just that you have to apply the Krishna conscious philosophy. Now, in the beginning, yes, we may have to think, wow, hey, those are, I really like that. Oh, yeah, I should cook it for Krishna, so I should cook it for him, offer it to him. Then I'll eat it, yeah, like that, you know. But the point is you have to intellectually add it in. But if it's understood that it's about Krishna, then gradually by the process of seeing it in the light of Krishna consciousness, that is the practice of that renunciation. You don't have to separately try to be renounced. You just have to be renounced in connection to Krishna consciousness. It's automatic. That's why we're saying it's automatic. Some people get, you know, the idea of automatic, that gives a bad some scar for them, so they don't like the term being used. No, you have to make endeavor and all that. Yes, you have to make endeavor in bhakti, and it's automatic that you'll get the other. Does that make sense? Like, it's just like it's automatic. That means you make the endeavor to, you know, go to the restaurant, sit down, look at the menu, make an order, and then it's automatic that you'll get the food. Do you have to go into the kitchen now and cook it? No, it's automatic. But now if you didn't go to the restaurant and didn't order, it wouldn't happen. So you have to know is, yes, the endeavor is there, but where is the endeavor? Yes.
Or is the endeavor for any of these qualities without bhakti, that's just artificial?
Yes, it's artificial. It's pious. But that's all the more it is. That's the difficulty with using these tools that Prabhu mentioned, that these modern tools is they appear to be pious. But the problem is because they're pious, it's not enough.
Mm-hmm. And being artificial like that, is that why the Bhagavatam says, for the non-devotee, they have no good qualities?
They have no good qualities, because they're not their qualities anyway. Mm-hmm. Even they're working on these things, they're not technically theirs. Because they're just borrowed by the material, they're borrowed from the Vishwarup. It's by the modes. You've done a particular karma, you get certain particular results. And then how long those last is dependent on if you cultivate in the proper way. So you see the good qualities today, but you can't guarantee you come back in a year they'll have the qualities. Because they may have had bad association, behaved badly, and lost them. Or they may have continued nicely and they still have them. But then next life you can't say they'll have them. But when the devotee is using good qualities in devotional service, those are considered real. Because the qualities of the soul, that's real. The qualities of conditioning, that's the big deal.
Temporary.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mike.
So you have to know it comes from Krishna. So just like we say, oh, well, the karmis behave nicer than the devotees. But the point is okay, but how do you define nice? You know, you follow etiquette, you follow rules, you behave nicely. So does not Shastra say that? Does not Prabhupada give us that? Does Rupa Goswami not say that following the etiquette is important? So if we don't do that, then what do we expect? And so is that all karmis are nice? All of them follow the rules of etiquette? No. So therefore, then you can't say that the karmis are, just like as you can't say the devotees aren't nice. Individuals may or may not follow the etiquette, so in that area then it becomes a little strained. But you follow it works. So it's not that there's a problem with the process, it's a problem with applying the process. People aren't applying, you don't get the result. You don't cook, there's nothing to eat. You can't blame the pods. Okay. Yeah. You come home, there's nothing to eat, go in the kitchen, you know, trash the kitchen, you know, like that. You know, why didn't you, you knew I was coming home at 6, you know.
Damn kitchen.
Yeah, you know. I had devotee. Went around the corner, but he didn't make a 90-degree turn. He only made a 45 and walked over the bridge at a 45-degree angle. Doesn't work very good. You know, he ended up in the ditch. And then he's walking away, looking at his feet, cursing his feet. Stupid feet. You know? Like that. Problem is that he doesn't have eyes on his feet like Gotama, so he can't actually do that. Now, Gotama, if he falls in a ditch, he can blame his feet, because they have eyes. Right? Like that. But, yeah. What to do? Okay, the following example is given in Chandogya Upanishad 6.1.10. O gentle one, As by knowing the nature of clay, everything made of clay becomes known. In the same way, by understanding this one teaching, everything becomes known. Right? So, we can relate to the clay one. Because you know clay, then you know everything made from clay. We can relate to that very easily. Right? Because we're dealing with the upadana, or the material cause. But then it's pointing out is that if you know the one teaching, then everything you'll know. So in the same way as you know clay, you know all the things made from clay. You know this one teaching, you know everything coming from that one teaching. It's the same principle, just it's more subtle. But what we see is that, except for devotees, everyone likes to keep it a bit gross. And maybe they make it complicated, but they keep it gross. Gross meaning within the gross and subtle elements. You know, the 24 elements. They never get generally to the metaphysical even. Like that. You know, let alone spiritual. These words of the Shruti must refer to the ingredient of the world. They cannot refer to only the original creator of the world. Right? So that means is how this works. So he has to be the one that you're talking about. Because that one unknown or that one topic, that's Brahman. So that means everything's created from Brahman. So that means it's non-different from Brahman. All the plants in the field are different from the field. But they're only made up of the ingredients of the field. So the potency that everything can transform. Without time, will anything transform? Can Pradhan transform without time? Right? So, without the glance of the Lord, it can't transform. So that means time is in everything. Right? Ignorance comes from the Lord. That's also in everything. Right? Jivas come from the Lord. They're in everything. Right? Can't get away from it. Well, Jiva's everywhere. People, yeah, when you come to India, people especially find that.
Like.
Yeah, just they're everywhere.
Protection.
Hmm?
You get it by protection.
Yes.
Mark? Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that Mahavishnu is the efficient cause, and as Sri Advaita, he's the material cause.
Okay. Where is that said?
Chaitanya.
Okay, that's an Adi Lila. Okay. So we'll get to that after 2 years.
Who's
hope? Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Who's hope? Which one is
Mahavishnu is the
efficient,
the Nivita. And Advaita Charya is the Upadana. Because he's the glance. These words of the Shruti must refer to the ingredient of the world. They cannot refer to only the original creator of the world. For by understanding only the potter, one does not understand the pot. Therefore, to avoid contradicting these words of the scripture, it must be concluded that Brahman is not only the original creator of the world, but the ingredient of which the world is made as well. Right? Because otherwise, then you actually understand the pot. Otherwise, why is there a pot? The potter's there, the pot is there. Why, what's the two? Why? So there must be a connection there. So, yeah. Bhagavatam verse reference. Oh, no. Time is up. Okay. We'll end here.
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki.
Jai
Nitai Gaura Premanandi. Today is?
Tuesday.
Tuesday. Okay.